Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul was departing from the saints in Ephesus whom he loved dearly. He gave them a solemn warning, saying, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverted things to draw away the disciples after them." Who were these wolves? What was their aim? And Dick Taylor has joined us once again today as we further look into the book of Acts, and this time chapter 20. Dick, welcome back to the program. It's always good to have you here.
Thanks. It's really good to be back, Chris.
Well, Dick, we had 2 marvelous programs on Thursday and Friday regarding Acts chapter 20, verse 28, an incredible verse in the New Testament. We're going on today to verses 29 through 32, but I wish you'd take at least a moment and touch verse 28 again for the sake of those that missed these marvelous programs last week.
How about I begin, Chris, by just reading that verse? "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained through his own blood." Like you said, Chris, this is a tremendous verse. A lot of things we could say, but one thing we can say for sure is we see God. We even see God in his Trinity in this verse. You see the Spirit, you see the word God signifying the Father, you also see blood signifying the Son, and then you also see how this wonderful triune God went through some steps to accomplish his economy. Where did he get blood? No doubt in his incarnation. He had to become flesh. He became a man with blood and flesh. And so you see not only the person of the Lord, even in his Trinity, but you even see the process and the steps that he went through to carry out his heart's desire, which is to gain the church. And this brings us to another really precious point about this verse, and that is how much he treasures the church. So it unveils the God of the Bible. It also unveils his heart. And his heart is altogether wrapped up with the church. And it shows particularly in this verse how he treasures the church to the extent that he obtained and purchased the church with his own blood. Like 1 Peter 1 says, "You were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb." And this is the unblemished, spotless Lamb. So we see the wonderful person of the triune God in this verse, whom we love dearly, and we also see his heart's desire, which is the church. And so this verse, I would say, Chris, causes us to not only love the Lord, but love what the Lord loves, and that's the church. And to even want to care for the church, we should love the church and see the exceeding worth and preciousness of the church as the Lord does.
Dick, I think this is the really outstanding feature when you take this verse in its context, this verse 28 that you talked about. Unveiling, of course, Paul here is meeting with the leading ones from Ephesus as he's departing, and he's trying to impress them with the preciousness of the church, as it is so precious to God that he was willing to shed his own blood to obtain it. And then Paul gives them this warning about these fierce wolves coming into the flock, really touching their hearts very, very much to try to give them an urgency to guard this most precious possession of God's.
Really true, Chris. I agree with that 100%. He is really infusing us with how much the Lord treasures the church and that we should treasure the church the same way the Lord does and not mistreat the church, but rather shepherd the flock of God. And a wonderful footnote in the Recovery Version indicates our shepherding should be a rendering of all-inclusive tender care to all the sheep. We love the Lord, and we love the church the way He loves the church.
Well, Dick, to get into the proper background of the message today, I think we should add a couple of verses to those which we have read. Of course, we heard in the very beginning about this warning about these wolves, these fierce wolves rising up to come in. This is verses 31 and 32. Therefore watch, remembering that for 3 years, night and day, I did not cease admonishing each one with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who've been sanctified. Tremendous portion from God's word.
Tremendous.
Dick, let's join Witness Lee with the first section of our life study today.
Verse 29, I know that after my departure, first wolves will come in among you. This is something from the outside, not sparing the flock. Wolves will come in from the outside to damage the flock. We all know this. And from among you, this is from inside, you yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverted things to draw away the disciples, the sheep, after themselves. When we see perverted ones rising up, then we'd think, oh, we have not been so careful in the past. But look at Paul. The church in Ephesus was raised up and established and carried on by Paul's ministry exactly, thoroughly 3 years. Surely Paul did it carefully. But in spite of this, still Paul anticipated some perverted ones will rise up to say perverted things in order to draw away the saints to themselves, to form another good flock. Wherever grains of wheat were sown to grow the wheat, no one has ever sowed the tare. But the tare comes up while the wheat are growing. And this indicates where the real believers are, the false ones are. You just cannot avoid. Paul did the work directly by himself 3 years to take care of the Ephesians. Yet, he told the elders, you must be aware of one fact, that someday some among you will rise up to speak the perverted things. In verse 29, he predicted the wolves coming from outside. Then in verse 30, he predicted that the perverted ones will be rising up from within the church. The purpose of their rising up is just to draw the saints away. Listen, this is the purpose. Saints, this word should be also spoken to us. We be careful. Take heed. So, verse 31 says, wherefore, watch, remember that for 3 years, night and day, I did not cease admonishing each one with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace. Again, the word of the Lord's grace. I do believe Paul used those 3 years to pass on the word of grace and of His grace. The word of His grace, week after week. Hallelujah.
Dick, we're seeing the Apostle Paul giving a kind of negative prophecy to these leading ones, fearing that after his departure, fierce wolves would come in from without and also rise up from within the flock to damage. Who are these wolves and what is their aim?
Well, these wolves are really people who would try to damage the church. And like we were fellowshipping, the Lord treasures the church, and Paul was trying to infuse us with this burden that we would do everything we could to treasure the church, that we would guard the church, protect the church, shepherd the church, and keep this kind of evil influence from coming into the church. So you have wolves, and the wolves are those who come from without. And then you have the perverted ones, as our brother mentions, and those are the ones who rise up from within. And whether it be the wolves from without, that is attacking the church, which is a little bit more obvious, and we've seen this through our history. Sometimes there's some who come from without, just trying to pull people away to create their own quote-unquote flock. But more subtle are those who are within. These are called the perverted ones. And these ones within, not so obvious, it's kind of like tares among the wheat. It's hard to say where do those tares come from, but they're there. As surely as there's wheat, there's tares. So, like you said, Chris, Paul was giving a kind of negative prophecy, although we would say it's not really a prophecy, but he's really warning us that from without, there are going to be those who come to steal the sheep away just for their own flock. It has nothing to do with the Lord's heart's desire for the church. And then from within, ones will be trying to speak things, perverted things, to carry the saints away, and this is even more subtle. So this is really a warning. This is a real safeguard. So we love this verse 29. After my departure, wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among you yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverted things to draw away the disciples after them. Again, we see his jealousy over the church. He has picked up the Lord's jealous love for the church.
Well, Dick, embedded in this warning is a very positive thing, a kind of admonition, or we could say maybe an antidote to the attack of the wolves and the perverted ones. I think this holds a key for us as well. What is the way for us to be protected from the wolves and the perverted ones without and within?
The way to be preserved, Chris, is to follow the Apostle Paul's pattern. What did he do in Ephesus? It says for 3 years, day and night, he did nothing but speak Christ. And by his own utterance here, his utterance is quite fine. He says he spoke the word of his grace. So Paul, for 3 years, day and night, did nothing but speak the word of the Lord's grace to the people. This was to protect them, and this was to preserve them. So bringing it to today's situation, we would have to say to be protected from the wolves and to be protected from those who speak the perverted things, even today among so-called Christians, we need to hear constantly the word of God's grace. And I know, Chris, you are, and I am, I hope everyone who's listening, we are rejoicing that this ministry is being aired, because this life study ministry is surely the word of the Lord's grace. This ministry is full of the triune God dispensing himself as life and everything to us for our enjoyment. Again, what is grace? Grace is just God in Christ as the wonderful Spirit coming into us to be our life and our life supply for our enjoyment. So the real protection and the real preservation from the evil one is to be full of this enjoyment of Christ through his word. And the word is referred to as the word of his grace.
Well, Dick, we can't get into the book of Acts without touching negative things. There are many accounts that we have to be faithful, and we have addressed and will address more as we continue in the life study of Acts. But this is certainly a positive, the word of his grace. And that's really the focus of this next section of Witness Lee's sharing. So let's go to that right now.
Verse 32 in chapter 20. Paul continued to tell them, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who have been sanctified.
you could see the function of the word. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothing. You yourself know that these hinds, that means his hinds, minister to my need and to those who are with me. That means he was working to make some money that he could be supported and that he could help all his young co-workers. I've showed you all things that toiling in this way, we ought to support the weak, that means the weaker ones, and to remember the word of the Lord Jesus, which he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And having said these things, he knelt down with them all and prayed. By this word, you could see, here is one, he doesn't consider that his preaching is a profession, but that is a real burden to carry out God's New Testament economy. You need to get yourself fully constituted with the word. All of you should be burdened. We should say, Lord, we are here for this, to pick up a burden that we are willing to be constituted with all these New Testament teachings, that we may be a vessel like Paul. The earth today is so small, yet so big in need. A kind of superficial gospel, a kind of superficial Christian teaching, and so forth, could never carry out God's New Testament economy, his eternal plan. The Lord has shown us this. We have been quite burdened, even commissioned, to carry out this New Testament economy. You may say, you are not so talented, you are not so gifted. Yet, if you would mean business with the Lord and get yourself fully saturated, then surely at least you could cover 10 persons among your relatives, among your neighbors, among your friends, and so forth. Not just to preach the shallow, superficial gospel, so shallow, so much on the surface to your context, but you yourself have been constituted with all these New Testament deeper truths. Today, we have to realize on this earth, every nation, every race is seeking after truth. Even they are evil, they are worldly, yet still people are hunting for truth. They are hunting for the real meaning of the human life. So we have to go out with all this kind of New Testament economy burden. We must go back to follow the Apostle Paul's trend. Some evenings, visit your friends, go to campus to carry out some gospel work. We are here just like Paul. Paul has set up a good pattern. He did not only carry the burden, he even worked, labored, toiled with his own hands in making tents to support himself and to help others. The Lord has placed us into such a rich country. This is something sovereign of the Lord. If we would be faithful for the Lord's purpose, but don't go out empty-handed. You must go out with the full knowledge of the truth, which has gone out to carry the New Testament economy teachings to the needy ones. When they hear this, when they see this, when they touch this, they'll be convinced. They may reject the first time, they may reject the second time, but eventually they will half welcome you the third time. Then the fourth time, fifth time, they will fully welcome you. Then the Lord get them for himself through your faithfulness.
Dick, as we have seen, the word of his grace, of God's grace, that Paul is recommending here, not only serves to guard us against the wolves, but it also equips us for speaking to others. This is an aspect of the life of believers, particularly in this age, that I think we have to be faithful to confess is almost universally ignored and overlooked. What we're talking about here is not just preaching the gospel to our friends and relatives. We certainly stress that. That is also very important. But we're also talking about the speaking of the rich truths of the Word of God by all the believers. Dick, first of all, is this really something that God is trying to bring into the everyday practice of ordinary believers?
Absolutely, Chris, because God's desire is to build up what has been called the organic body of Christ. What does that mean? That means that every member is full of Christ as life, and every member is able to function. What's happened through the centuries is a paralysis to the Lord's body, because eventually there's just a few so-called capable speakers. But the Lord's desire is to have multitudes of functioning members. The word of God's grace is the word of Himself and all the steps that He went through to become our life supply, and our enjoyment, so that He could constitute us with Himself, that we might be His reproduction, we might be His body, not in a theological terminology way, but in a living, organic way, functioning, speaking Christ, ministering Christ to one another for the building up of the body of Christ. So, yes, this is really something that the Lord is endeavoring to work out in this age with all the believers.
Well, Dick, what about in America today? I know you a little bit, and I know you've been active for many years, speaking on college campuses and just about anywhere. Is there an appetite? Is there a hunger for these deeper spiritual truths and the riches of God's Word in this country, in this age?
There surely is an appetite, Chris, and I appreciate. I've noticed even through this broadcast, I hear about people, and I have met some who have been listening, and I realize there is an appetite. A brother mentioned recently something like this, that a real appetite for Christ is contagious. As the Lord would speak this life study ministry, and we, even all of us who are hearing today, would dive into this ministry and into this truth and enjoying Christ as the life within this ministry, you not only will have an appetite, but you will become a very contagious factor to your friends, to your relatives, to those you know. And I have seen this happen. And I appreciate so much, Chris, as you do, this life study ministry. If we would just listen faithfully to the life study of Acts day by day, or any book that we're in, and take note of certain things and pray over certain matters, you will become a constituted person. And this person is a person who really has an appetite and is a contagious Jesus germ, causing others to really be hungry for the Lord and for His Word. So because this Word builds us up in life, causes us to grow in life, and allows us to really become those who are suitable for the building up of the body of Jesus Christ. So we are one with the Lord, not only to be hungry and full of appetite, but to stir up the appetite of people all over America and all over this earth to pursue Christ for His goal, that is the church.
Well, Dick, I was a young person in the late 60s and 70s. In fact, I got saved at that time. And, of course, it's very vivid memories to look back. And there was a definite spiritual hunger and stirring in our generation at that time. Many, many people were brought to the Lord during that period of time. And I think, to be honest, we would all have to admit that since that time, there has been maybe not that intensity in the seeking. But what we've touched today, this appetite and hunger and yearning for the riches and the real meaning and meat of the Word of God, is really finding a very, very widespread place to grow, to take root.
Amen. That's really true.
We are really driven by a desire to share the riches of the ministry of God's New Testament economy. In addition to that, Dick, you're very, very faithful to mention the recovery version and frequently read from it and from the footnotes. This, again, is an invaluable resource and tool.
Definitely.
For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.